You're listening to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. It has been 4 months since Hurricanes Irma and then Maria slammed into Puerto Rico. The death toll and damage to the island is unprecedented. The power grid and water infrastructure were torn apart, triggering a health crisis. And all this time later, many people in the American territory are in limbo. Best estimates put around half the nation without power. And some experts say people in Puerto Rico might not get power back in some parts of the territory until the spring. Marta Smith Cruz of Livonia has been leading a relief effort for Puerto Rico since September. She is focusing on her hometown of Ceiba, and she's with us now to bring us up to date. How did Hurricane Maria affect Ceiba? Give us a sense of the before and the after.
Before and after, well, before everything was fine. Everybody could go to work. Everybody had their cars. Everybody was able to get to the grocery store. There were supplies. Today, there are people in areas of Ceiba that have no power yet. The water is intermittent. The water is not potable. So they're on a boil water advisory. There are a lot of people that still think that even though it's a boil water advisory, it's okay to drink it. So you're seeing a lot of health issues. There are people that have been sick. They don't have the ability to wash their hair with clean water, for example. So they're getting sores on their head because they're using, you know, dirty water or water that shouldn't be used. It's very not even old school, but just primitive.
Very, very. We're seeing reports, Marta, of a sharp spike in suicides in Puerto Rico in the aftermath of the hurricanes, including among young people. Are you seeing that kind of toll in Ceiba?
I haven't had any reports of that. However, we have heard of people within the community that have had family members that have been affected by suicide in the immediate area. So maybe not in our hometown, but maybe in neighboring cities. That's certainly true.
I can only imagine, and I challenge everybody listening. We all think about how annoyed we are when we lose power for an afternoon. And then it comes back on, and you can put the lights on and live your life. And when you think that here it is, 4 months later with no end in sight, what do you see people doing to get through? What kind of internal fortitude are they mustering to just get through this?
Losing power and losing electricity is not uncommon on the island. There are times where you lose power for some unknown reason and then it comes back, or the water goes because they're doing some work. So it's not something that is uncommon. But having no power and no water and no communication on top of that, I think all of those combined is really what makes it more difficult. Not having electricity, okay, fine, you know, it gets dark around 7 or 8 o'clock and you use candles and lanterns and things like that, but it's getting tiring and you can't even imagine the expense of people that have generators that have to spend $40 to $60 per day sometimes just to keep the generators running.
Now, you've made several trips down. What kinds of things are you bringing when you go back to Ceiba?
On my very first trip, I was very lucky. I was able to get a flight on Delta, and they allowed me to take 10 boxes and bags up to 100 pounds each. And that's because I booked my flight before they put an embargo on. As soon as they saw that people were doing the same thing, they put an embargo on it because the weight limits were just astronomical. So the things that we were taking were, I shipped generators. Those had to go through cargo because those are not allowed as passenger cargo. But we took food, we took water, we took things like water filtration systems, like individual water bottle sized ones. We took some that would do 5 to 10 gallons at a time. We took solar chargers that could charge cell phones, that could charge fans, batteries, things like that. And things like that are still needed.
How can concerned people, hearing you describe the desperate conditions in Ceiba, how can concerned people here in Michigan best help people in Puerto Rico?
I'll give you a perfect example. We have 18 pallets of water sitting in a warehouse that we need to ship, and we need to raise funds for that. Or we need an organization to step forward and say, hey, we'll donate a flight for you in order to get all of this stuff down there. But it's really difficult being a small organization with people from the area working together to raise those kinds of funds. And because we're not a known shipper, with all of the limitations that there are on shipping cargo, because we're not a known shipper, we can't even go to FedEx and say, we have a cargo shipment that's this many tons and send it down there. You know, we need monetary contributions, but we also need things like generators or gas cards and gift cards for people to be able to purchase items that are now available on the island.
So, Marta, I understand the many groups that have been trying to provide relief to people in Puerto Rico have kind of united here in Southeast Michigan. So how can people who want to help tap into that?
So we actually came together to form a group called Comité Cultural Boricua de Detroit. And what we've been doing is we've been maximizing all of our efforts in order to bring resources together, including monetary donations. And we're all working together through a group called Grace in Action, which is located in Detroit. And we actually have an event tonight, which is going to be a fundraiser. We're hoping to raise $1,500 in order to get a water filtration system sent to the island.
What do you want people to know about the people of Puerto Rico and how they've coped with this?
I want people to understand that we are their fellow citizens. I want people to know that the people of Puerto Rico are super resilient. They've overcome many obstacles. They've gone through a lot of hardship just based on the economic status of the island over the past several years. And I want people to know that they do need help because they are just like you and I, they're people, and they do need help.
Marta Smith-Cruz, thank you so much for sharing your relief efforts for your hometown of Ceiba in Puerto Rico. Thank you so very much.
Thank you.